We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, it is beautiful, and A.J. Brown's been a heck of an addition to the team. Now, he's got to hold on to the ball, a couple fumbles lately. But, my God, this guy is a really skilled player. There was a point last night, John, first quarter. Offense initially hadn't done much, and I just remember he caught one ball. He planted his foot. He turned upfield. He's very skilled. I mean, he's very physically imposing in ways that guys like Deshaun and Macklin never were. Much better running after the catch than Alshon was. And Alshon was a pretty good player here when he was good. But, you know, really, it's a short list. So when you talk about the really great receivers we've seen in town in the last, you know, call it 40 years. I mean, you're going to go from Carmichael to Quick to T.O. to A.J. Brown. I mean, he's way beyond Deshaun Jackson. He's way beyond.
Oh, no question about it. And this game, you know, during the week, he was incredibly sick. Apparently he lost 7 pounds, you know, just from being ill. So it was it took a lot for him to get ready to play in this one. The fumbling thing,
yeah,
that needs to be addressed. I'm sure it's a focus of every defense. Every defense that we play, they're trying to figure out like what's the answer? What's the easy route? What's the thing we can do that no one else has been able to do to slow this group down? And really, the turnovers are, you know, pretty central to what has been problematic for us, like over the last 3 weeks.
Well, yeah,
and it's A.J. Brown,
yep,
coughing it up. I love that he runs hard after the catch, but teams are now saying, okay, one guy hold him up, next guy rip it out, punch it out, and it works. So it is something that I'm sure he's aware of, the coaching staff,
yeah,
they're harping on, but it needs to improve.
215-592-9494. Birds get the 40-33 victory last night against Green Bay to 10-1 on the season. Sirianni's discussion with Angelo from earlier today, that's coming up in about 15 minutes. To the phones right now, Susan in Wilmington. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you? I'm a first-time caller.
Great. Thank you for calling, Susan.
Welcome aboard, Susan.
Thanks. Listen, a couple of things. So, I mean, we've been harping all morning on the special teams, you know, and they're not getting down the field fast enough. But even on the other side of the ball, right, it seems like, you know, kickoff, we either let it go through the end zone or we let it go into the end zone, we don't bring it back out, or we fair catch it. So who makes that call? I mean, is that something that –
Well, the fair catch is specifically made by the punt returner in the moment. He's got to feel the pressure coming at him and make that, you know, quick determination. I think the kickoffs, are generally probably said by the coaches, hey, if you're 3 yards deep, 4 yards deep, sometimes even 1 yard deep, then just take a knee. I think the coaches probably dictate to the kick returner where they consider the limit to be to bring it out.
Gotcha. And if I could, just one other thing. So, you know, we're kind of talking to your point before the break. You were talking about how, you know, the Eagles are 10-1, but here we are kind of complaining a little bit. All right. So, you know, with that said, so the defense, right? I mean, it gets a little frustrating.
So with that said, let's complain more. All right, go ahead, Susan.
Exactly. Well, not really. Actually, what I was going to say was, you know, the older guys like the Fletcher Cox and the Brandon Grahams, right? So, I mean, they make great plays when they need to. It's a little frustrating when I hear people always downing them, you know, for, you know, Fletcher Cox is a step slower, you know. And of course he is. You know,
I thought he was better last night.
I thought he was really good last night, actually, and he made plays when he needed to. But I think maybe if he was off the field a little bit more, because I think the team itself is a lot better with him on it, whether he's on the field or on the sideline, you know, talking to the young guys and giving them his experience. You know, I think he's a great player. I think he's done a lot for the Eagles organization. I think he's been very good.
Well, he's had a great career. And, Susan, appreciate the phone call. I mean, he has had a career. Here's the thing. I think he's comparable to what Jerome Brown was for Jerome was only here for 5 years. It's just so interesting, John, how much guys like Jerome and Fletcher Cox are viewed differently by people as far as belovedness. Like, I love Trott. And Trott is really good. Trott and I are really close. I think Fletcher's had a better career than Trott had. But Trott was like, James, Trott was 5 times more a fan favorite than Fletcher.
Oh, not even close. Yeah. And Trott was a great player. Fletcher's definitely had a better career. Like, just as a player, he's been better.
I mean, Fletcher Cox was the best defensive player on a team that won the Super Bowl.
And six Pro Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, but it hasn't been so graceful
been
in the last couple of years. It's been a little choppy.
The last few years, there have been plays where you see he's not, you know, peak Fletcher Cox, and I have questioned his effort at times. Maybe that has to do with him being exhausted. He had 70 plays against the Commanders a couple weeks ago. Last night, he had 31 plays, 63% of the defensive snaps, same as Javon Hargrave. Linval Joseph had 30, which is, you know, that's surprising.
So it's a solid chunk for a guy just started
who just
playing
arrived.
Again.
Yeah. I thought Fletcher Cox last night was the best we've seen this season.
I agree with that.
And I believe in my heart that part of that is you've got Linval Joseph and you've got Ndamukong Suh in town. They're also, you know, elder statesmen, D tackles.
Right.
And they just merely their presence holds him more accountable. And it helps that it was only 31 plays, but he looked like he played with more consistent effort last night, and that was really good to see.
He let out one of those real primal screams when he made one play, which tells me he cares. I mean, I forget where at what point in the game, but he was involved in a stop, and he got up, and he's screaming like celebration scream. I mean, I think he still cares a lot. He knows when he's. I think he knows when he's been criticized. I think he's probably very aware of your criticism. Your criticisms, John, probably get back to him.
I don't know.
You've been so vocal. I'd find it almost impossible that a friend of his hasn't said, "You're this John Ritchie guy on WIP." I mean it. I mean, it is what it is. It's the way of the world. But you've been very hard on him at times.
Well, because he has shown to be one of the best D tackles in the NFL. And when I see like the lack of effort that he's demonstrated this year, it is troubling. When you couple that with $14 million
right
for this season, yeah, it's disconcerting. But last night was definitely a step in the right direction for Fletcher Cox, and I expect more of the same.
Here's the question for
these
you.
These old heads, these old heads. Look, there was a point in time last week on social media where people were getting after him, saying, "Hey, look, these guys came off the couch and just beat you out."
Yep.
And you know, he replied.
Online. Oh, so he knows the criticism.
He knows that people are, you know, putting the ISO cam on him, and I think it was a good thing.
Who is more likely to be an Eagle next year, Fletcher Cox or Brandon Graham? James, who is it?
Brandon Graham.
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's tough, man.
I said that confidently, but I'm certainly not confident.
We don't have the. We will not have the funds to throw $14 million at
my Fletcher. Thought was no money. Fletcher. That was I thought Graham would be cheaper. That was kind of my thought in answering the way I answered.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, we'll see. Hey, Sirianni, his conversation with Angela from earlier today, that's coming up next. We'll rock your phone calls all show. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, football season around the halfway point, past the halfway point now. And now is a great time, the perfect time, to download FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's right, $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. What could you use first bet on? How about tonight? How about Monday night football action? You can lock it in there. Of course, you can also go to the world of basketball, the world of hockey. So many ways to go. Next week's pro football games, including Philadelphia and Tennessee. Whichever way you want to bet, it's all there for you when you sign up using promo code HAMMER. That's promo code HAMMER with FanDuel Sportsbook, which has an app which is awesome. Easy to sign up for. Easy to navigate, to move from game to game, league to league, to lock in on the bet you want to make, including, of course, you can get in on the soccer action with Team USA's game tomorrow. So lock it in using promo code HAMMER and sign up with FanDuel Sportsbook. And, of course, make every moment more with all these games and all these seasons with FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Eagles get another win, 10-1 now. Of course, Minnesota's still on their heels, but that's okay. Eagles got the tiebreaker. Look, they're going to clinch this thing, I don't know, maybe with two games to go. And then they will probably rest the players. I was advocating earlier in the year to play the players if you have a chance at an undefeated record, but, of course, that's not in the cards. And Eagles are in great shape, man. They're in great shape. But as we have talked about throughout the show, they do have some issues that when they face better teams, they better clean some of this stuff up, namely defense and especially special teams. 215-592-9494. By the way, John, how about it, man? How about a shout-out? Seltzer, did you know it? Do you see it? The Fairfield Stags, my college, who we've talked about before, have never produced a famous person. Kevin Nealon went to Fairfield for 1 year, otherwise nobody. You know who's a stag and you don't even know it?
Ooh.
Team USA goaltender.
Get out of here.
The dude that pitched the shutout the other day. The guy's a Fairfield Stag.
It's like Turner, Matt Turner.
Matt Turner, apparently. I just want to drop that in there.
How about that?
Fairfield proud. Let me be proud of my college. Let's go to the phones. Apparently, he's a late bloomer, John. He wasn't even first team in the conference in our MAC conference. Now he's star USA goaltender. To the phones we go. Let's go to Mike in Newcastle. Hello, Mike.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing great, Mike.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys all morning, man. Hmm. Listen, one of your listener said that, you know, that they played an inferior team. They did play an inferior team. The offensive line was inferior, but yet they almost beat you guys. And you
oh, boy, here we go. Here we go.
You're going to be coming up with some serious runners, you know, like Henry and Pollard and Zeke and all that stuff coming up. Y'all going to have to clean all that stuff up, man, because, you know, if you're going to play like the – y'all don't look super. You talking about going to Super Bowl. I've been hearing that all day long about the Eagles going to Super Bowl. You don't look super right now because when you beat Aaron Rodgers
–
Did the Cowboys look super when the Packers beat them on November 13th?
They sure didn't. And I'd be the first one to say they sucked in that game. They should have won that game, you know, but they played right ever since then, and you got to win three straight games now, where those three teams should have beat you. You know, you didn't look good.
Well, I wouldn't say the Packers should have beat the Eagles. The Eagles controlled the game, even though it was relatively close. Mike, obviously, I think Dallas, I'll be honest with you, I think Dallas is a threat. But just know this, man. Right now, the Eagles can only face inferior teams. That's what happens when you're the best team in football.
Well, you know what? The thing about the Eagles, though, they shoot themselves in the foot. Now, like I said, if they play the way they're supposed to play, they probably could beat the Cowboys. I mean, even if the Cowboys have full strength, they probably could beat them because, you know, the Jalen Hurts problem right there is going to be a problem for the Cowboys.
There's no question. There's no question. Look, Hurts is – and Mike, appreciate the phone call. That was a weird one, John, because I wanted to kind of go at him and spar with him, but then he kind of was coming around and giving the Eagles compliments. It's like, you know.
It's going to be – that's an interesting game on Christmas Eve. And we've talked a lot about the way the schedule shakes out, the third road game
yep.
in a row. And it's crunch time for this Eagles team. That's the Cowboys are good.
Cowboys are good.
We are better. And I expect to win that game, but it's going to be a tough
well,
one.
Well, I expect this. Even if the Eagles lose, it won't really matter. Meaning they'll still be the one seed, they'll still win the division. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna have.
I'm just annoyed by the Vikings being where they are.
I know
the Vikings are hanging around too much, and we need some more losses on that tally.
But the Eagles are two up with six to go, so you know because of the tiebreaker factor. So, but I hear you. Minnesota is continuing to keep the pressure on. All right, let's get to Nick Sirianni. His conversation earlier today, of course, as he calls in every Monday after an Eagles game to talk to Angelo in the morning. In case you missed it, the 10-1 Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni with Angelo today.
Eagles coach Nick Sirianni. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angelo. How you doing?
Congratulations. Wow, a high-scoring game against Aaron Rodgers. Did you see a big score coming in that game, Nick?
I mean, to say you knew you're going to put up 40 going into a game, I don't think you ever think that. I mean, you want to, but that's hard to do in the NFL, as we know. And we knew we needed every point we could get because we knew we were playing one of the best quarterbacks ever to step on this planet. So, you know, good team win, obviously, yesterday.
When you when you're playing against a guy like Rodgers or Tom Brady, Nick, is it hard to separate yourself from the fact that you know this is a Hall of Famer? To not be in awe of the guy for a second when you're looking at tape?
I think when you watch good players on tape and when you watch great players on tape, it's easy to be like, whoa, you know, be in awe of a guy. But that just makes you prep a little bit harder and a little bit more and a little bit, you know, we're already given everything we got when we prep, but it makes you just be like, hey, we got to be on this because this guy can really hurt us. And he made some really good plays yesterday. You know, we made a couple more than he did, but, you know, when you're preparing for a guy like that, it is, you're going to feel like that as a coach and you're going to be like, man, this is a really good tape that he's putting out there. But, you know, cause we recognize talent and we admire that. So, but you know, we got after him a little bit too yesterday, which, you know, we got some good hits on him. We took the ball away from him, which is a little uncharacteristic. So we did some nice things there on defense as well.
Yeah, speaking of talent, your quarterback showed a lot of it last night too, Nick. Did you know going into that game that he's going to have to use his feet the way he did early in it, or was that?
You know, Angelo, that's a good question. It's just he made some plays off schedule early, right? He made some big-time plays off schedule, meaning, you know, something would break down in the pass game or somebody wasn't open or there was just a little bit of a lane for him to take. And he did it and made some explosive plays off of that. And then we got some of the quarterback runs going, you know, there that really sprung him. And the offensive line did an unbelievable – and the tight ends did a great job of springing him. When you run for that many yards, too – you know, I'm watching the tape. I'm watching it now. Obviously, late night last night, didn't get to watch it last night. Wanted to, but fell asleep. But you know, it is. You know, the receivers blocked their butt. So I'm looking at AJ. He had a great game blocking. He really did. He blocked his butt off and sprung a couple long runs. And so, you know, you can't ever anticipate a quarterback. You know, setting the franchise record with the quarterbacks that we've had here in Philadelphia in the past. But you know, he was awesome last night. He was absolutely awesome last night with his feet.
You know, you were talking after the game, Nick, about how in this third year he's offering input. He's given you his thoughts in the course of a game that you can incorporate into the strategy in the game. Can you give us a sense of how that works? Is this something that he's evolved into, or where did this come from?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's something that as he gets more and more comfortable with the plays that we're running, right, the system that we're running, and we're doing what we can do to fit the system to him, right? It's his system. What's the system? I don't know. It's a system that fits Jalen Hurts in our offense. So, but as he runs these plays more and more, you know, he feels things that, you know, the defense are doing out there. Hey, if this guy is doing, you know, anytime a defense takes something away or shades somewhere different, like they're getting something off of that, but they're giving something a little bit off of that. And so, you know, he's seeing what they're giving based off of what they're trying to stop. And he's got this great sense of, you know, like a coach would, of what complements things in our offense. And so, you know, he's coming to the sideline and he's saying, hey, this guy's here on this one. I think this would work. And we're like, yeah, that's an awesome idea. And so that's a great progression in his development that he's able to give us that information. And it be, you know, you don't trust everybody with that, right? If you trust and if you go in there and a receiver's always going to think they're open. I'm telling you that right now. I played a receiver, and they're always going to come out and be like, I beat him. Well, you know, that's always going to be the case. But I do trust our receivers have good insight too. But, like, Jalen is, like, the information he's giving us on a weekly basis is just proving over and over that he's right on it, and he's seen the game so well. That's why he's getting the ball at the right place. And then he's able to make suggestions that really can affect the game, because, you know, maybe we see something, you know, but we're not out there doing it, right? He's seeing it perfectly to his eye, and, you know, that's a big part of his development, and I'm glad he's taken that step.
Hey, Nick, I'm curious. You kind of expressed regret for this decision, or at least that's how I sensed it. 4th and 1 from your own 37. You're still early in the game, up 6, and you go for it. And you mentioned later that you had put your defense in some bad spots. Did you go for it because that quarterback sneak has worked all year? And why didn't it work there twice?
Yeah, sure. You know, we went for it because we trusted our guys. There's no doubt in that play. I mean, I think we're pretty darn good in that play. I think we've had 2 or 3 that haven't worked. And probably 25 that have. So I like those odds, and I like Jason Kelce, and I like all those guys in there. I think the reason it didn't work in that particular case was a little bit of a design that by myself. And I didn't love the design on it, you know, that didn't plug the backside edge. And the guy ended up making a play, and that was on the 3rd down 1. On the 3rd down 1, that was particularly what I didn't like. So, you know, that's where those are the ones that you beat yourself up about, because, you know, you gotta put the guys in the best spot you can be to make the plays. And I don't feel like I did that on that one. So my regret may not have been that we went for it. And, you know, I hate giving them a short field because it's Aaron Rodgers. You can't give them a short field. And we did 3 times in that first half. I regret more the design that it was all me. Like I don't like the design that I came up with on that particular quarterback sneak, and so that's more my regret, Angelo.
All right. Well, one of the reasons there were short fields was because your special teams was allowing some very significant kick returns, and this is the number one complaint on a 10-1 team we've had, Nick. Is that they haven't really given you as much as you've gotten on the offense or the defense. Is it now, do you see it now as an issue, a problem, and how are you going to fix it?
Yeah, you know, we're beginning our process for the week and watching the tape right now. I'll get with the special teams coaches here in a little bit when I'm done with offensive tape. We just have to be better. And that starts with us as coaches, putting them in a position to make a play. And I don't want it to sound like, you know, like I'm the head football coach of this team. And so, you know, if there's an issue on special teams, that starts with me. If there's an issue on defense, it starts with me. I'm not the offensive coordinator. I'm not the offensive coach. I'm the head coach. So it's my job first and foremost, nobody else's job, to get to get the things right on special teams. So, you know, we'll be in there working like crazy today. And obviously anytime you give up 3 big returns like we did yesterday, you got to look yourself in the mirror, and you got to have hard conversations with yourself, and you got to look and say, hey, what do I, and put all your ego aside, whatever it is, and just say the only thing that matters right here is getting better. And we accept the responsibility that it wasn't good enough. It wasn't to our standard. And how do we get better? And so the answers are on the tape. The answers aren't hiding from us. The answers are right there, smack dab on the tape, for us to get better from it. We just got to make sure that we dig like crazy and scratch like crazy to find, find them.
Hey, Nick, people say that they love, in the past at least, football players said they love playing in primetime because all their peers were watching. Mm-hmm. Does it feel any different to you when you win a big game in primetime like you did last night?
I know I'm more tired in the morning after a primetime.
We are too, Nick.
Right. I know that. So, but no, you know, they're all sweet. This is, you guys know how special this league is and how much parity this league has. So they're all special, you know. But it is cool because I get more texts about the game, you know, when it's prime time and it's the only show in town, and my college coaches in Ohio or guys I used to coach with at IUP or, you know, friends from New York that don't maybe always get Eagles games get to watch them. So, you know, and that's that's cool. You know, make sure that, you know, it's just another layer of, man, I don't want to let anybody down, you know, and that's what motivates, you know, we don't want to let each other down first and foremost. You know, we play for each other in this building, but you know, I don't want to let anybody down out there either. That's getting a chance to watch the Eagles maybe for the first time. And, you know, we know we got some special players on this field that put on a show last night.
And my last thing was, I was watching, they show you quite a bit on TV. You got a lot of TV time yourself, Nick. You look like
I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, it looked like you were really having a good time, that you were loving your job. Am I reading that right?
I mean, I know you love your job, right, Angela?
No, I'm retiring. I hate my job. I can't wait to get out. Are you kidding me, Nick?
But think about it. I get to do something that it's a childhood dream of mine, and I love coaching. I love coaching players to help them be the best version of themselves that they can be. And man, why couldn't I have fun with that? You know, I'm wearing sweatpants right now. I got a sweatshirt on. And I'm sitting in an office, and they're actually paying me to do this. I mean, this is unbelievable. I have a job that I love. And you know, the old saying, when you love your job, you don't ever work. And so, but we're going to work like crazy to make sure we keep this thing going. So, I was having fun. And when you love the people you're around, like these players, right. And you know, these coaches, like that's, you know, that makes it even more special. You know, every time Lane Johnson comes off the field when we score a touchdown with a big smile on his face and we're high-fiving, I'm like, man, that is sweet. Or me and Kevin Petullo, you know, after it. Or if Chauncey gets an interception and, you know, man, it's just awesome. You know, it's something that there's no other feeling like that you can have that you just – it's just special. It's just a special feeling, and you get that because of the closeness of these players. You get that because of the closeness of these coaches.
I just got to say, Nick, I think you might have made a good career choice there. That's what it appears at 10-1. Congratulations and good luck next Sunday.
Thanks, Angela.
Nick. Now, there he is, Nick Sirianni, this morning with Angela. I'll tell you, I thought he looked tired last night during the game. I don't know if you guys noticed. I thought he had major bags under his eyes.
I didn't notice.
James,
that.
Did you pick up on that?
I did, more than normal.
Yeah.
At least. Normally, he's got all the energy in the world. It felt like he was a little tired last night.
I mean, I just thought just his face, honestly, looked tired. I saw you this morning, John. You looked tired, of course, after last night. Because, you know, for those that don't know, John does post-game show here, you know, after the Eagles games. So, but yeah, I actually thought he looked tired entering the game. He's doing a remarkable job. I know there's some other candidates for Coach of the Year. I find it hard for me to believe that someone else is more deserving. I know Pete Carroll was a Vogue choice there for a couple weeks. Looks like Seattle's sliding back a little bit. There's some other good coaches doing great jobs, but, man, I'll say this. I don't know how you do much better than 10-1. Well, I do. You go 11-0. Other than that, I think he's, to me, right now, Sirianni Coach of the Year, Hurts MVP.
Well, it's hard. I think it's very hard to suspend our biases, and I agree.
Well, I think
with
MVP is a two-horse race. I think it's him and Mahomes. I know some people say Tua because when they lost some games, it's when he was out, and they do have a good record, and he's doing a nice job.
Yeah,
he's doing a really nice
Dolphins
job.
The Dolphins have been,
I know,
scary.
No, I get it.
Pretty outstanding. It is hard to imagine that you know, a coach has turned it around the way that Nick Sirianni has. We were unsure. We were unsure what this season was going to be. We were unsure what he was going to do with this quarterback, and it feels like he's made all the the proper moves, all the right moves.
Right.
You know, special teams aside, the motivation, it's always there. It feels like the team. He talks a lot with Angelo about how they're just playing for one another. That's not easy to pull off, you know, to get a group of grown men
right.
to buy in the way that they are. It's hard to imagine a front runner who's more effective. The only thing that could work against him is people can say, hey, well, look at the roster that Howie Roseman has put together.
Correct. I agree with you. That's
you know,
what that's
a lot
what,
of times
yes.
the coach of the year ends up being the coach of a team that's got lesser talent.
That's unexpectedly 10-7
yeah.
or something and gets to the playoffs when people thought they were going to win six games.
Right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. To the phones, let's go to Rob and Glenn Olden right now. Yo, Rob.
Hey, gentlemen, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great, Rob.
Listen, there's a couple things I picked up real fast. I just want to spend a millisecond on the Sixers. It's actually fun watching them without Embiid. I never thought I'd say that, but I actually enjoy watching this crew.
Well, here's the thing about this crew. They're hustling. That's exactly
they
right. They're hustling.
You know, it's not stagnant. It's not sitting in the post. It's just like the ball's moving. I know they can't win a championship without them, but it's just fun watching them. I just thought I'd touch on that real fast. Now, with the Eagles, two or three things I want to mention. One, I see a little toughness in Devontae Smith. There's a couple times I see him catch the ball. He turns it upfield. He's taking some shots.
I agree.
I was worried about him. And, you know, I don't know long term if that'll last. But, like, I see some toughness in him that I didn't think was there before. So
I agree.
That's been a pleasant surprise. One is obviously he touched on it with the ball security with A.J. Brown. Got to get cleaned up. The third thing is, how many total yards rushing did we have last night? The total. Do you remember what it was?
363.
363, yeah.
Okay, 363. How much did Hurts have?
157.
Okay. Now, see, I want to see that come down. I don't mind him running, and I know it's part of our offense. It gives the defense more to think about. You know, it keeps them on their toes. It keeps them guessing. But, like, I don't mind him running when the ends are coming wide and he's got those massive lanes to take off and he can slide with nobody around him. But there's a couple times, Joe, John, James,
yeah.
if you saw during the game, he got him slow a couple
I
times.
I know.
Yeah.
And he's not going to last doing that. We got to develop the pace. I don't know if that's Goddard, you know, I'm sure to some extent being out. He can throw the ball.
Look, Rob, here's the deal, man. They are playing with fire.
They are playing with
fire. They are playing with fire.
He might not make it to the playoffs at that. I mean, I've seen him get up slow a couple times. And I thought maybe he took a shot to the ribs or whatever. He got driven into the ground. He got bent over funny. I'm like, he's not going to last. And that's what happened last year.
So, all right, Rob, appreciate the call. I mean, John, let's tackle this issue. Look, he might last. I mean, let's be real. He might last. He's through 11 games, and he's fine. But
he's doing a great job of protecting himself, but some of those hits they looked bad.
I thought it was the most – just off the top of my head while I was watching it last night, I thought it was the most hits it felt like he had taken since the Lions game week one. Like, real hits.
I feel like it was the most hits he's ever taken.
It probably was.
That's what I felt like watching it.
Yeah, no, I think it was probably more than the Lions game.
Well,
and, James, I agree with you.
Expect it. I'm sure that's what defenses are planning. Hey, we got to, whenever possible, put a lick on him because he's the guy that makes it go.
I mean, he even had that one quarterback sneak, and it's not that big a deal, but where he actually broke through for like 3 or 4 or 5 yards, and they're keeping him up, and, you know, everyone's trying to smack at him. I mean, it's just...
You're talking about the one down near the goal line?
No, I think it was around midfield. They got a first down. It was one of those ones where the whistle didn't blow for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like the same play where the guy.
Yes, I remember, and it kind of kept going. It's like, wait, are they going to let it keep going? I had yes, exact same reaction.
It was like the play when last week the other team had the run that kept going.
Yeah, the fumble. Yeah,
and
you're
the Eagles ripped
right.
the ball out. He got like 5 yards on a quarterback sneak. I just, again, playing with fire. So far, it's worked, but you just know, man, at some point here, you gotta pick your spots. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494 on a great day with the Birds 10-1. How great does that sound on 94 WIP? What a reference by Mike Quick. The Gary Lee Maddox reference. I love it. It's a great play by Blankenship getting in there. And I thought Aaron Rodgers, and he knew it, like right away, he's like, oh my God, this guy fooled me. Because it's one thing to have a pass that's incomplete or intercepted because it's bad accuracy. This was – he got fooled. He did not expect the safety to be there. Blankenship was there, and the Eagles took the ball away. That was a cool moment in the game. Great moment for him in his career, obviously, stepping in as a rookie and picking off Aaron Rodgers like that.
And it was a confident play. I mean, he disguised his plans, and the way he broke on that ball, it was a thing of beauty.
All right, to the phones we go. 215-592-9494. It's the reaction to last night's game. The Eagles getting to 10-1. Let's talk to Eric right now. Eric, you're on WIP.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Great, Eric.
The thing that I've noticed a lot about one of the comments about the two missed short yardage going for the first down. On the third and one, Quez was out there and didn't block anyone. He kind of let that linebacker come in and pull at Jaden.
But also, Eric, Jaden, I got to say, I thought bad job by Sirianni and Steichen having Quez be that guy.
No, I get
that. It could be A.J. Brown. It could be a tight end. That could be Pascal. Like, why is Quez the one? Yeah, I thought that was stupid.
He could have gotten his way as well. You can do nothing, but you can do something as well.
Correct.
Another thing, people have also started to comment on A.J. Brown being compared to Aguilar, and Aguilar had catching the ball consistency issues. Aguilar didn't have fumbling issues. AJ catches the ball consistently. He has fumbling issues.
Mm-hmm.
And for me,
there's no comparison. Listen, the bottom line is AJ Brown has had two fumbles in 2 weeks. It doesn't mean he's like the thing of it this way. Melvin Gordon got cut last week because he fumbles all the time. You know, this is not that. This is an aberration. They'll clean it up.
And Sanders, for me, last night Sanders was great. I think he. You know, you're referring to how much meat was left on the bones. Outside of a couple early runs where he tried to bounce it outside, I thought he took all the meat off of the bone. My only issue was when he was catching the ball, he would do this kind of U-turn thing where he would try
Rounds
and
it.
Out. Yeah, I hate that. I hate that. Like, just turn around and get him filled.
There were a couple times where he needed to just drop step, you know, drop step directly up the field. Two different occasions where he rounded things, and that's something that can certainly be taught and worked on, and I expect him to be better.
Eric, good call, man. Appreciate that. Let's go to Petey Pete right now. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Excuse me, man. I was having lunch, man. Sorry about that.
No worries. No problem, Petey Pete.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Great show, man. Great show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And actually, y'all guys are covering a lot of things I was thinking about. But my question, John, and you know, maybe both of you guys can answer it, is what can we do in special teams to make it better?
I told you. Listen, I think the main thing they can do is knock one, two, or three guys off the special teams and activate new players. I mean, it's either that or drill down for the 500th time on technique and energy and purpose and stay in your lane and, you know. But I mean, they had to have done that already this year.
Well, the problem is, who are those players?
I don't know.
You're promoting guys from the practice squad.
It's
dicey territory when you are sitting guys down and saying, hey, the effort is not good enough. I do think a lot of it is just desire. It's want to.
Yeah.
It's toughness.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. And they don't have the right mindset. I think you got to look at Michael Clay. And if you're Nick Sirianni, it's like time to motivate the coach to motivate the guys.
Yep.
Because, yeah. I mean, and the other thing was, too, even with Jalen, I mean, I know we said, you know, I mean, I don't know how much, what else he can do, man. I mean, I think he's doing everything he can.
Yes.
Yeah.
To keep us afloat. And, like, right now, I feel our strongest part of the team is the offense right now. I mean, I think we can go up pretty much against anyone. My concern is, though, like you guys were saying earlier, with special teams and our run defense is just ridiculous, man. I mean, I don't know what else, how we can do as far as run defense, because, I mean, you brought in those two guys. Unless we get somebody in the draft. I don't know. What you guys think? I'm finished. I just went.
Sure, buddy. All right, call us again, man. Appreciate the call. John, the run defense.
I'm worried about the run defense.
Yeah, you have been.
It has been a thing, and, you know, we added two big, you know, burly guys to put in the middle, and we got run on again. I'm telling you, man, if they would have had the opportunity to run the ball more than 20 times between those backs, it could have been a different outcome. I mean, it was a touchdown game as it was. They only ran it 20 times. They only ran 49 plays.
Yeah. It's just interesting. We see the same team, the same games, and you and I see it differently. I continue to not be – and listen, maybe I'm the only guy in the room that feels this way. I'm just not that concerned on the run defense. I am more concerned about the fact that I just don't think the front four gets to the quarterback.
You're
enough.
Not concerned about our run defense when we're about to face a Titans team that just wants to run. Above all else, they just want to run.
So I tend to think the Eagles will stack it a little differently. You know, I mean,
they're better.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's how they game plan it. I don't. Like, I think last night, Jonathan Gannon's thinking number one priority is to stop Aaron Rodgers through the air. And I respect that.
And Aaron
and
Rodgers,
it
look, when we came out with two deep safeties,
yep.
you know, like stop the pass,
yep.
they ran it,
yep.
and they ran it effectively. I don't expect that we're going to come out that way against Ryan Tannehill and the Titans because that's not really their prerogative.
I agree.
So, yeah, maybe we'll have an extra guy in the box and that'll help us. I don't know that we've got guys that hold up. Like, what I've seen from some of these guys, Milton Williams,
yep.
is he gets manhandled when the opposing team decides to run the football. And I don't know what's going on with Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn had,
Boy,
like, 11 snaps.
Is he playing?
Quinn
I didn't even notice.
I mean, he has been horrendous.
Invisible.
Yeah. Invisible.
Here's the thing. I think just like.
I mean, he just looks as bad as Ryan Kerrigan did last year, honestly. Well, and that's saying something.
It's like exactly the same
thing. No, it's like the player is done. It's like mad respect for the career, but it's over.
He had 18 and a half sacks last year. How crazy is that to think
it's,
about?
It's hard to believe, James.
It's hard to believe.
It's really, really hard to believe. Let's go to Robert right now in Germantown. Hello, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Robert.
Good show. Enjoy listening to it here. Taking care of eating turkey for next month, I guess.
There you go.
So I sent you a pizza. Hopefully that's a little different than turkey. So.
Sure.
Oh, thanks.
I'm on the side of I'm worried about the run defense. I really am. You know, run defense and other defense, big plays we gave up. I think that's a real problem. Though I think, you know, we're one of the top four contenders for the Super Bowl. Chris Collingsworth yesterday, I think, was talking about us and San Francisco. And who are the other two he liked? Kansas City, of course, and maybe Buffalo. So we should be right there. But in the playoffs, as you know, it's about defense. And ours is shaky.
But it's not just about defense. I think that's an oversimplification. I mean, offense has a big handle on it also, and the Eagles' offense is looking great, and part of how you do it is on the ground, and, you know, that's a big part of playoff football, man.
It is. And our offense is spectacular. Consider
tremendous.
What we did yesterday.
Tremendous.
Consider what we didn't even have Goddard yesterday.
Correct.
I mean, imagine him in that game yesterday.
Yeah.
My God. And we tore him up. But I don't want to be looking at having to score 50 points a game in the playoffs to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course not. By the way, Robert, let's get to the really important thing. You referenced in the first 10 seconds of this phone call that you sent us a pizza. And now John and I looked at each other. Do you mean today? Did you send us pizza today?
Yeah, we just got it. It's right out there. Jack, just like five
Robert,
minutes.
Robert, God bless you.
Ago.
So first off, Seltzer, put a barricade around Fritz and Ike and Marx and everyone from the sales force. No one's allowed to eat this pizza until we have ample go at it.
Yeah, sorry, no beverages. I don't know if I can sell.
Oh, you're a good man, Robert.
Well,
very kind.
You guys are like me, tired of turkey. So,
all right, Robert, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. We're gonna be going to commercial break real soon. Really hungry right now. Let's go to Ray in Morristown. I'm just kidding. Hi, Ray.
What's going on, brother? How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Really excited now. I know I'm about to eat pizza soon, but yeah, what's up?
I know you are, Joe.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful gift from a wonderful call. You gotta love it.
Indeed. So, Ray, other than your phone call, what are you bringing to the table today?
Well,
what gifts are you giving us?
No gifts. I come bearing no gifts today, but I do come bearing some shade.
Okay.
I'm excited about the win. My concern is not only special teams. You know, let me just say this. If I was the owner of a professional football team, I would think about weapons. Every facet of that franchise should be a weapon. When you look at your offense, you need to have weapons. You need to have weapons on defense. But it seems like they just consistently overlook your special teams. You look at I don't know how. I mean, I realize that we have a kicker, but Cameron Dicker was really good. And the fact that he got, you know, signed as quickly as he did by the Chargers, it was just amazing. And when I look at how Jake Elliott just missed that extra point, I'm really glad that didn't come back to haunt us, because when they went up 20-20, I was like, this is going to end up costing us the game.
Right. Here's the one thing I'm going to say, though. I'm going to push back on you on one point, the whole weapons and special teams thing. Here's what I'll say. It's great when you have that. And sometimes, a lot of times, that's when you prioritize in giving a backup extra money to be a special teams player. I mean, Ike was a great special teams player. Maragos got paid, like, unusual special teams money. If I had to go through the whole roster here, I bet you there's not one guy. I guess maybe other than Pascal, but he's also a fourth receiver, who actually gets paid anything above the veteran minimum or a rookie minimum. And that's, by the way, that's part of how you get Bradberry on the team. That's part of how you get Kazir White. You know, like, you can't pay everybody everywhere.
Understood. But what I'm saying is, when you're building that roster at the halfway point and you're saying, okay, when you take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, where are they? See, if you're like a Bill Belichick, what do they constantly say that this guy does? He takes away what you do well.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm looking at the team. I said, where are the weaknesses on this team? Where are the chinks in the armor? The chinks are they don't have anybody that can return a ball.
Right.
How is Quentin Covey on this team? I mean, this guy has – I don't know whose nephew he is or whose cousin he is, but he should not be playing professional football. He needs to be – there needs to
well,
be –
Well, they're dialing – Ray, position. You know what? They are dialing him back. I mean, and Ray, appreciate
the
call.
Two plays yesterday.
Yeah, they clearly took away kick return from him. And, you know, punt return, there weren't a ton of punts. But look, here's another option, John, on special teams. You might remember when Rodney McLeod was here all those years, as a terrific starting safety, he was a special teams player.
Yeah, you could start plugging guys in, saying, hey, you're in football shape now. We need you on coverage units.
I mean, that could be a healthy Gardner Johnson. Now, again, he probably won't be healthy for a couple weeks. But
Kazir White.
Like yeah, Kazir White.
Guys. Yeah. Just, Marcus Epps.
Right. I mean, it might be good.
You might have to resort to that. And I know that they're awfully cautious with guys and their health. You know, Zach Pascal, I thought that he was a big part of our special teams. When I look at the numbers, Pascal was only in for 7 special teams plays last night. You had some guys out there for 24 special teams plays. 23, 24, 22.
Yeah.
The core guys are running in the 20s. Pascal was only at 7. So he's another guy. He's tough.
Right.
I would consider adding him to some. Although sometimes a receiver is not the best guy to go send down and cover a kick.
And why is that?
Because defensive players are
used
better
to,
at tackling.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, tackling.
You know what's good,
Edmund?
We're
getting blocked. We're getting blocked. We're getting covered up. And we're not staying in lanes.
You know who was a good tackling running back on special teams? Corey Clement, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I mean, he was like.
You're right.
He was really good at it.
It's a mindset.
And Kenny Gainwell probably is not. I mean, again, I saw one play last night where he fell down. But how many times this year do you remember Kenny Gainwell running down and actually tackling a guy?
Well, I don't think they're having him do it much. Well, I mean, he was in for 5.
Yeah, one of them last night I saw. I mean, one of them was a coverage thing. They got to clean up the coverage. 215-592-9494. And yet, despite the special teams, the Birds are 10-1. Jody Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.